morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'd like you to stand, please. Ninety-four years ago today was the end of World War I. It was supposed to be the war to end all wars. On the 11th day of the 11th month, at the 11th hour, the war ended. I'd like us to bow our heads for a moment and remember those that have given their lives on the field of battle from then up until and including today. Please remain standing for the flag salutes this morning.
Let us please direct our attention to the American flag. Attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let us please remain standing and turn to 779 as we sing our national anthem. 779 as we remain standing this morning.
Bye.
let's turn ahead to 783 as we sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, hymn number 783.
This Veterans Day 2012, for those of you that are visiting with us today, we're so glad to have you. We hope the service is an encouragement to your life and to your heart. Let's pray and ask God to bless our service this morning. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the gift of eternal life that is ours because of what you did on the cross, and also that you resurrected from the dead and ever live today to make intercession for us. Bless this service, Lord. We pray in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you see, why don't you greet someone this morning? Welcome them to God's house. Morning to read in honor of Veterans Day. And our first poem will be read by Jocelyn Macri.
They Did Their Share by Jane Finch. On Veterans Day, we honor soldiers who protect our nation. For their service as our warriors, they deserve our admiration. Some of them were drafted, some were volunteers. For some, it was just yesterday. For some, it's been many years. In the jungle or the desert, on land or on the sea, they did whatever was assigned to produce a victory. Some came back, some did not. They defended us everywhere. Some saw combat, some rode a desk. All of them did their share. No matter what the duty, for low pay and little glory, these soldiers gave up normal lives for duties mundane and gory. Let every veteran be honored. Don't let politics get in the way. Without them, freedom would have died. What they did, we can't repay. We owe much to them who kept us safe from terror. So when we see a uniform, let's say thank you to every wearer.
And our last reading is from Juanita Hickman.
How We Recall by Roger Ara. How we recall that day we swore to serve our country to the core. That clothing issued brought a view of raw recruits, this showed so true. Remembered hair was cut away, this look for quite a while would stay. Our trek before too long it showed, new GIs marching row by row. And then one day emerged a form, each proud trained troop in uniform. We followed orders as we should, to do our best in pride we would. Some served in peace, some went to war. Brave heroes paced through heaven's door. We cherished friends who served with us, great buddies old, how we discuss. So many thought we'll never want for what we shared, let closeness reign. Our bond was tight, the best to see, for when we served, this had to be. The purpose was to keep you free. God bless the brave deservedly.
Thank you. I'd like to have all of our veterans this morning please stand. We want to recognize you if you served in the military, past or present. Please stand. All right, remain standing so we can recognize you. God bless you. All right, please be seated. We appreciate your service to the country. And now we just have a few announcements.
All right, well, this coming Friday will be our next teen fellowship, so I hope the teens can join us for that this Friday at 6 p.m. And then this Saturday will be our next tract distribution as we go out each month and spread God's word in the community. And we send you out in a team, and you pick a street or an area of streets to put literature on the doorknobs. We hope you can all help us with that this coming Saturday right here at 11 a.m.
All right, we'll have our ushers come at this time as we take up our offering as unto the Lord. Giving should be proportionate as to God's blessings on our life. And giving demonstrates love It helps to support the Lord's work. And so let's give as unto the Lord. And Brother Henry, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for our country and Lord, for all those who have served it, Lord, and who are currently serving it. Lord, we just pray for their safety. We pray for their families, and we just pray that you bless them, Lord. And Lord, as we just give this offering, we ask that you please bless the offering, and please bless the giver. May it all be used for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to 155. As we sing the first verse, we will dismiss our junior church. 155 at Calvary. Junior church is dismissed. Years of spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing that it was for me, he died on Calvary.
front line, committed to the call. You fought the fight of faith, you truly gave your all. Now you lie there wounded with a bleeding heart. You cry out for help, but help just seems so far. And you wonder where the other soldiers are. I am coming for you, wounded soldier. I will gently carry you upon my shoulder.
Please, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 11 through 14 of John, chapter 15, 11 through 14. Please stand with me and we'll read together from our Bibles, verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. Starting with John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God that we have, that we can trust as a guide to our path, and Lord, as a source of faith. You said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Bless it to our hearts today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Today, our goal is to both honor our veterans and not to forget the greatest veteran of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fought for our salvation and won. Amen? And what is a veteran? Well, a veteran is someone who served in the military. In essence, they signed their name to a blank check. And they said, Uncle Sam, you can fill out all the details. Our veterans have served in the time of peace and in the time of war. The purpose, of course, of this day is to just say thank you and to honor them. We have some more in our church that were not able to be here today, but we honor and we thank the Lord for them. Veterans Day is overlooked in many parts of the country. Many pulpits across our land today do not notice this American tradition seems to be falling further away. And why is that? I think maybe one reason is because that they think that honoring veterans is honoring war. And no Christian should glory in war. No veteran should glory in war either. There was a cartoon in the newspaper during World War II of two battle-worn soldiers in Italy walking back from the front. And they were truly worn soldiers. They looked ragged and they dirty and they needed a shave. And you can tell that they had been at the front for quite some time. And as they're walking back, they are passing a well-groomed, shaved shoulder, a shaved soldier. Say that 10 times, huh? And he has his clenched fist. He has his boots all shined up. And he has an angry look on his face. And he's walking past them with a chip on his shoulder. The one soldier says to the other, "That ain't no combat soldier. He's looking for a fight." Amen? And so, fighting is a necessary evil. After the end of the Civil War, gruesome war in our country's history, General Sherman, after that war ended, he was so tired of hearing the rhetoric of the glory of war, he was invited to speak at the graduation ceremony as the keynote speaker of the Michigan Academy of the Military. And on that occasion, he decided that he would blast the concept of the glory of war. And he said, "War at best is barbarism. Its glory is all moonshine." I guess I know what that means. It's not a good thing. He said, "War is pain and suffering," and he's the one that's credited for saying war is hell. And I think he said, "I think I understand what military fame is," said Sherman. "Military fame is to be killed on the battlefield and have your name misspelled in the newspapers." Then he went on to say, "War's cruelty. There's no use trying to reform it. The crueler it is, the sooner it will be over." And it is all this. And then he said, "But at times it is very necessary to maintain our freedoms." And so we distinguish today between the difference between war and the warrior. Aside from death and destruction and cruelty, what is war? What is it? Well, it has a lot of emotions to those that are involved in it. Fear, anger, hope, despair. Someone who goes away to war never comes back the same, that's for sure. And yet, there is an unexpected feature in war, and that is love. Sometimes soldiers fight not for love of country. Sometimes they risk their life not for their flag, but they risk their life for their friend that is next to them. And all too often we see the love of God in the lives of soldiers as they are fighting. Recently, the Benghazi attack in Libya, I think we're going to hear a lot more about that, unfortunately, in the days ahead. But we lost four Navy SEALs who left their place of safety, even disobeyed orders to stand down to save civilian employees. And as we have learned, they died in a gun battle that lasted all night and resulted in their deaths. And yet Jesus said, no greater love is this than the man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us, didn't he? He laid his life down. He said, no man takes it from me. I voluntarily lay it down of myself. Sometimes you even see love for the enemy in a time of war. I was reading a story of World War II, prisoner of war named Ernest Gordon. He was a prisoner in a Japanese prison camp, and he was on this prison train heading to Burma. And as the train stopped, another train was next to it, and this train had Japanese wounded piled in the cars. And he wrote, they were in a shocking state. I have never seen men filthier. Uniforms were encrusted with blood, mud, and excrement. Their wounds crawled with maggots. The wounded looked at us forlornly as they sat waiting for death. They had been discarded as expendable, the refuge of war. These were our enemy. Without a word, most of the soldiers in my section unbuckled their packs, took out part of their rations and a rag or two, and with their water canteens in their hands, went over to the Japanese train. Our guards tried to prevent us, but we ignored them and knelt down by the enemy to give water and food, to clean and bind their wounds. Grateful cries of arigato, arigato, thank you, followed us when we left. I regarded my comrades with wonder. 18 months ago, they would have readily destroyed the Japanese. Now these same soldiers were dressing the enemy's wounds. We had experienced the moment of grace there in the blood-stained railway cars. God had broken through the barriers of our prejudice and had given us the will to obey his command to love your enemies. Sometimes in war, love is experienced for the enemy. Sometimes a soldier even risks his life when he's not trying to save anyone. I'd like you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 23, please. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And verse 13. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was there in a hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was there in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give the drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out onto the ground. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. The scripture says that these three men risked their lives just to bring David a cup of water from home. And as we read that David wouldn't drink of it, as he considered the price that was paid for them to get that water, David is quite an interesting figure in the scriptures. And here he realized that these three men risked their life just to do him a favor. They loved him that much. And they risked their lives to bring him this cup of water. I think of David as a young boy, as a warrior. He comes on the scene, an unknown person really, as a young boy, a shepherd boy. And as he faces the giant Goliath, his life has changed forever in the minds of the people of Israel. If you look a few pages to your left in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see the incident in verse 38. verse number 38 through 40. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven him. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Up until this time, Goliath had been taunting the armies of Israel in this valley, defying the God of Israel. And Israel was in fear, and they were trembling, and they were afraid to confront their enemies. And young David came on the scene by chance to deliver some bread and refreshment to his brothers. And he saw this giant in the valley. He saw this giant taunting Israel. And in essence, he said, isn't anyone going to stand up to this giant? And no one was going to stand up to face this giant. And David was very proficient at that slingshot as a shepherd boy. I mean, he was a sharp shooter. He could hit the mark every time, and he knew what he was capable of doing. And he also knew that if he just had one shot at that giant, he could knock him over just like an old tree. Amen? And so he volunteered for the job. And the king of Israel, Saul, said, Well, if you're going to fight this giant, you better put on my armor and use my sword. Young David allowed the king to put that uniform on him, and it was so heavy that he could hardly hold it. And he politely said, King, I haven't proved this. I'm not really sure that this is going to work for me. But I do have what will work for me. And he had his slingshot. And he went over and picked out 5 smooth stones from the brook. You say, Pastor, why did he take 5 stones? Was it a sign that he didn't have enough faith, that he would need more ammunition to kill this giant? No. He took 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers. Amen. And so he went to battle all prepared for what he needed to do. And notice verse 47, And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen. You know, in your daily life as a Christian, in your struggles and your trials and all that you go through, we need to be reminded this morning that the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
That is the Lord that gives us victory in our life. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and praying always with all perseverance with all saints, praying for one another. You know, it's interesting that the armor that Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians is all armor that protects the front of the soldier. There's no protection for the backside of the soldier. We're only victorious as we face our enemy. Amen? We're only victorious as we go forward. In verse number 48 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Isn't that something? Here this giant, 9 feet tall, big, ugly brute, smelly, nasty. I mean, he was a bad giant. He's walking down the valley to meet David, thinking that he's going to scare him with his very presence. And our Bible says that David runs towards him as a little kid. Amen? He runs towards the enemy to meet him. In verse 49, "And David put his hand in his bag and took out thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." I mean, he did not even fire a warning shot, amen? He already gave his challenge. He already predicted what he would do. And verse 50 says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran." David likes to run. "He ran, and he stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith." Bloody. Messy. Amen? "And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. And thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents." One person encouraged all the armies of Israel. One person that was victorious encouraged all those that were defeated. You see how important it is that you and I live the life that God wants us to live victoriously? Amen? You say, "Well, I'm glad that David killed that giant, but I just don't like how he did it." How would have you have done it? Amen? You say, "Well, I'm glad he killed the giant, but really, did he really have to cut his head off?" I like the way he did it better than those that don't like the way he did it. Amen. Amen. He said, "But it was brutal. I mean, he took out his sword and he's standing on this giant who's already down. And he hacks his head off and he picks up his head in front of all Israel. Isn't that? How can you justify such an act?" Oh, listen, I like the way he did it better than all the people that wouldn't do a thing in that day. Amen? Amen. You say, "Well, I like the way the church goes out into the neighborhood and gives out tracts, but do you really think that we should pressure the town to believe the Word of God? Shouldn't we just pray for them?" Listen, I'm glad for the way we do it better than for the many that don't do it. Amen. And so in any event, David becomes a historical figure as a young boy. His life is never the same. His life is changed forever as he becomes a fixture in that government and the very next king as he grows up. And we know that Saul became jealous of David as he becomes magnified in the sight of the people and as his stature becomes bigger and stronger. And as he goes off to battle and comes back victorious, the women start singing about David has killed his tens of thousands, but Saul his thousands. And the king of Israel becomes jealous over David and seeks to destroy him. We know the story how that David did become the next king of Israel in God's timing and in God's way. Many Americans have risked and given their lives to bring us the cup of freedom. Someone has said, "Do we dare drink of the cup of freedom without considering the price that was paid for it?" We don't do that today. We remember, and we're grateful for all those that have served our country in the past. We honor all those that have served and those who have given of themselves. In honoring our veterans today, let's not forget to honor the greatest veteran of all, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, his name is Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, "And that he died for all." You say, "Well, I don't believe in Jesus." It doesn't matter. He died for you. You say, "Well, I don't want him to be Lord of my life." He still died for you. "He's not going to be the master of my life." He still died for you. "And that he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Amen. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." We no longer know him as the helpless Lamb of God. We no longer know him as a victim. We no longer know him as the suffering saint. We know him now, not as someone hanging on a cross. We know him now as the mighty warrior. We know him now as the conqueror over death and the grave and hell itself. We know him now as the one that said to the dying thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Amen.
And he went down into paradise and took everyone that was in paradise with him to heaven. We know him now as the victorious warrior. Amen.
Amen.
And the captain of our salvation, he is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he has overcome death. Death could not hold him. 3 days later, he arose.
Amen.
Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph. I didn't mean to do that. It's not polite to spit when you're in church.
Amen.
What was I saying?
Mighty triumph.
Amen. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Say it with me. He arose. He arose. He rose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Amen. I used to sing that song to my children. Yeah, Benjamin, I was crazy back then. Tell them a nighttime story and then go in, and I would dress up, put on a mask or something, and I would sing it, that Easter song, "Up from the grave he arose," and they'd get a big kick out of it. Oh, listen, living the Christian life, there's no better life.
Amen.
I mean, to give it all to Jesus and raise your family the way God wants you to. Amen. I think one of the good things about the Hurricane Sandy, no offense, Sandy, I'm never going to look at you the same.
Paul said on Facebook this morning he was going to change his dog's name because it was Sandy.
But the one good thing about Sandy Hurricanes, Hurricane Sandy, was that television gave way to conversation.
That's right.
Amen.
We got to know each other better. That's the way it should be. Those are the things that are really important in life. People.
Right.
Conversation. Saying how was your day and really mean it and be willing to wait for an answer. Instead of, "Shh, get out of the way, you're in the way." "Oh yeah, well hi, how are you?" We'll talk later. You're in the way. Move. Oh, I'm going to my room. I'm going to watch this. We laugh because it's so true. But he has overcome death. He's overcome the grave. He's overcome hell itself. And he's standing today alive. And he says, I have all power in heaven. I have all power in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. And I am with you always. Amen. All power. Paul describes Jesus as a military general in his resurrection. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to, as I read this, I want you to try and listen and try and picture a drummer drumming. All right? Can you do that? Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 7 through 10. Actually, I need a drummer. Irvine, you want to drum for me on the cue? Like this? You raised your hand, you volunteered. Go ahead, Irvin. Do this. There. All right. Keep going until I tell you to stop. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Enough. Thank you. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. This imagery Paul gives is the imagery of a parade. And the victorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and is led by Him. And all those that know Him, follow Him. And when we pass from this world, we follow Him right into the third heaven where He is. Amen. Jesus conquered, and He gave gifts unto the believers so that they could serve Him. He doesn't expect us to serve Him without the gifts. He's given everyone at least one gift. We need to find out what those gifts are and use them for His honor and glory. The ministry is not just something that a pastor does. Ministry is something that every believer does. Amen? We all have time. He has given all of us some talent of one kind or another. We need to use them for His honor and His glory. The most inspiring picture of Jesus, our conquering hero, we find in Revelation chapter 19. And I'd just like to read to you a few verses. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11 to 21. And I saw, John said, heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I'll tell you something, Jesus is coming back one day. Amen. He's coming back to rescue Israel. He's coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Perhaps it's very soon, we really don't know. But whether he comes back very soon or in the future, we need to be ready in our hearts for his return. Amen. Yes, we see him here in Revelation 19 on a white horse with burning eyes, leading an angelic army, and he defeats his enemies. And then the world experiences the judgment. And then eternal life in heaven. Amen. A new heaven and a new earth. Yes, Jesus has conquered all. And he is the Savior of all those that believe in him. Let us pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We honor our veterans today. This is their day. It just happens to fall on Sunday. Every day is the Lord's day. We should honor him every day. Amen. He is our hero. He defeated the enemy of our soul. And he's given us gifts to serve him. May we continue to honor him, not only with our words, but with our deeds. As our pianist plays a verse of invitation this morning, have you begun to honor him? What does Jesus ask in return? Accept him as your Savior. Accept him as the Lord of your life. Let him turn your life around. He will. He wants to. Be baptized like the Bible says and live for him each day. Do you know him personally? If not, accept him today. Let him change your life. Call upon his name. And he will do what you cannot do. He will give you a spiritual birth. Religion cannot save you, but he can. If he's knocking today at the door of your heart, let him in. Ask him to come in. Let him change you. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd have your will done in our lives this morning. If there be anyone here that does not know you in a personal way, help them to see that believing on you is the only way. They need to humble themselves to become your child. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand this morning, please. I'd like you to open your hymn books to 549 as we open our invitation this morning. If you'd like to come for any reason or any purpose, would you come as we sing, Jesus is calling.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today, calling today.
that a day may bring forth. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Would you come this morning? If you die this morning, do you know 100% for sure that you go to heaven? If not, would you come this morning? So, as we sing that last verse, we'll sing verse number 4.
Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today.
Good to have electricity.
Amen.
Isn't it good to have heat in the house?
Amen.
Well, I tell you, we take so many things for granted, don't we? I'm so glad. Our power went out 3 times. The first time when it went back on, I said, Amen. The second time it went on, I said, Praise God. The third time it went on, I just said, Hallelujah. I should have said Hallelujah the first time. Well, we hope that you could be back tonight. The gas lines are gone, at least in this part of New Jersey. Things are starting to get back to normal for us. But our evening service on schedule, 6 o'clock. We have a guest speaker tonight. My son-in-law, Pastor David Popper, will be bringing the message tonight. And he'll be bringing all the other little Poppers. You'll get to see half of my grandchildren tonight if you come. And so we'll dismiss in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless us this afternoon and help us to appreciate what we have in this country. I wish that my grandchildren could know the country I grew up in. It is not close to what it was in those days, but you know, with God, all things are possible. So we have to believe that, we have to hope for that, and pray for our nation. Let us pray and be dismissed in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Derek, would you dismiss us, please?
Father, thank you so much for allowing us to live in this great country. And thank you for the great men and women that have served our country, Lord. And we just pray for a blessing on all of our soldiers, Lord. Be with them as there's still currently so many of them overseas, Lord. And be with their families in their absence. And just meet all of their needs, we pray. And we just thank you for your blessings, and we pray that we would serve you faithfully and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Some people didn't.
That's true. I like how you ended.